Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Friday Eve to you. It is time. It's time for the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Like I said, we don't call it Thursday. It's Friday Eve. As the OJs once said, it's time to drop your glad rags off at the cleaners and get them ready for Friday because it is almost here. We have one more day, and we have loaded it up for you as well right here on the Cave Show. So, your boy Joe West, he can't call balls and strikes, but he's now an expert on COVID-19. We will discuss that. I am so happy Jamal Crawford has found a home in this mystical playoff in the NBA with the Brooklyn Nets. We will talk about that. Ivy League football, it's not happening. Is the Pac-12 next? We will talk about that. And we've got to keep touching on this. The Washington Redskins changing their name. It is going to happen. It is happening. Merchandise is being pulled left and right. We will discuss that as well. And, of course, we are very happy to announce that we have Dave King, the managing editor of Brightside of Sun. He covers the Suns for SB Nation. He's the co-host of the Suns Solar Panel Podcast. He's coming on at about 10 minutes after the hour. So, like I said, we are absolutely loaded. Put your seatbelts on. Let's get this going. As today is Thursday, like I said, Friday Eve. That can only mean one thing, Cigars with the Cave Show. We are back live at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get your butt down here. They have the best selection of sticks in this valley. And if you come down here and you let them know PLR sent you, you get 10% off of your stick. The cigar today that I'm actively on right now is the JFR Connecticut. That is the cigar of choice today for the Cave Show. If you get down here, you get 15% off of this cigar today, period. Can't beat that. Like I said, they serve beer and wine, and there's a bunch of televisions. I listen to people. Sports are playing, and you can come down here, have an adult beverage, get you a stick, watch the TBT. There's soccer on, there's golf on. Get that mental break that everyone needs right now. Now, if you can't get down here, that's okay. Go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Most orders are shipped the same day. All that is happening right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Let's get this bad boy rolling. Like I said, this is the Cave Show. This is PR. I see the phone lines are already lining up. Let's get as many in as we can before our guest calls in at 10 minutes after the hour. Loosen this up right now. You're on the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
What's up, sir? How are you today?
All right. Well, first of all, have a cigar. Before I go into my normal notes, I just want to mention that I'm going to be moving to a new neighborhood in the near future, so it's probably going to require a new number. So whenever this does happen, you see a new number pop up, maybe you'll know it's me. I'll keep you informed as we draw closer.
Please do. Please do.
I will.
All right. Gotta keep hearing that voice, Lou.
Thanks. So Crawford's going to the Nets. Well, that could be good or bad. I got nothing really against him, but is he going to be the Nets' secret weapon?
Okay, the Nets don't have a secret weapon. They're down everybody. There's no KD. There's no Kyrie. There's no Dinwiddie. There's no DeAndre Jordan. They're all out. They're rolling out Joe Harris and the guys. But I will say this. The reason I'm so happy for Jamal Crawford, when he was with the Suns, he is probably one of the most professionals that you will ever meet. And he is
a
good guy and a good basketball player and a better person. And so for him to get, you know, if this is his last hurrah, to get in one more hurrah, couldn't happen to a better person.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the Nets are like, you know, an injury are, you know, it's been a little skeptic, you know, four players out with the virus or fear of the virus or whatnot. And, you know, so at least we got, you know, some decency out of this. And DeAndre Jordan, that match, he makes an ugly looking woman. Oof, oh, boy.
Oh, wow. Now, you know what? It looks like you guys are also going to sign Michael Beasley, and he's a former
Beasley
son as well. So you guys went to the Suns' old roster and decided to fill up for the bubble.
Yeah, I guess we did. Sorry. well, we had our first professional sports last night after 4.5 months. MLS came back last night.
They did.
Yep.
And
the battle of Florida.
It's very entertaining. It's on now, actually, if I'm not mistaken. So good for soccer. Good for sports more than anything.
Well, I'm waiting for Saturday night's matchup. My
you gotta
Red
keep
Bulls.
Talking. You can't stop.
My Red Bull.
Okay.
My Red Bulls. Come on.
Yes. You know
I thought that I thought that New York Football Club. I thought the game was at 9 o'clock tonight. It was 9 o'clock this morning. What kind of a nitwit would put a game a live soccer match at 9 o'clock in the morning? Unless you're in Europe, of course.
Well, but you got to remember, Lou. They're all playing in a closed, tight area, so they have to maximize the amount of games they have on in the field and be able to turn the field.
I know,
get
but
it
9 a.m.
Keep everyone safe. I loved it. When I woke up this morning and flipped on the four letter, there was soccer on. I thought it was great.
You probably think it was a European match.
No, it said up there who it was. But I will tell you this, though. This is where the MLS can score big time, because we all know that kids love soccer, and parents aren't sticking their kids in football the way they used to. They have right now the audience. There is no pro football now. There's no college football. The basketball bubble doesn't start till the 31st. Baseball 2 weeks away. They have
you don't count the TBT
unto themselves. I don't. The MLS has a stage unto itself. And think about this: you're on in the morning in the summer when schools are out. Who's watching TV at 7, 8 in the morning? Kids are. That is that's marketing genius.
Yeah, but you know, for people who work, that's not so much genius. You know, people who. And there are older people like me who actually watch soccer. If you would put the game on at noon, that would have been better.
True, but what do older people do? They tend to watch games at night. Guess what they're going to show tonight? The replay of the games.
Of course. Well, at least it's something.
Exactly.
All right. So, So Ivy League is out, but ACC. They said they're going to push back the season for most of their sports, but football was not affected. And you think the Pac-12 was next? I think the Power 5 conferences are going to work their way around it. So I wouldn't necessarily rule out the Pac-12 just yet.
No, I didn't. What I said was I got from a source 8 minutes before I came on that they're looking at playing only Pac-12 football. So they're not going to play all the other games. Pac-12 will play the Pac-12.
You mean within their own division?
Exactly, within their own conference.
Well, okay, that's fine. It's
so that's the
difference. Football is football.
If it goes off, I don't think college football will not go off. Period. I think the Ivy League was a precursor. I just have a hard time. I have a hard time believing that you can convince parents and that their kids should play football when their other kid who may not be on a football team can't go to class or can't come on campus because COVID-19 is too dangerous. But we can make all this money off your other kid playing football, but the other kid's not safe to go on campus. That's speaking out of both sides, and I need to tell you what both sides are speaking out of.
Right.
So I don't see it happening. But listen, I got to jump on you. I do apologize. But hopefully we'll talk tomorrow. Thanks for
we will.
Thanks for doing a call, Lou. I appreciate it. All right, buddy.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Always good to hear from Lou. Love it when he calls in. Listen, though, I got a minute away, and then I have the one, the only Dave King on. Norm, Bright Side, SB Nation, Sun Solar Panel. He's everywhere. He does everything. That's my dude, 100%. And he is coming on, like I said, approximately a minute and 6 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with Pierre Law."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And just as I promised you, I have the man himself rolling through right now on The Cave Show with PLR on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. My main man, Dave King. Dave, what's up, sir? How are you?
Good. How are you doing, PLR?
Thanks, buddy. You're doing good in this amidst, as I call COVID-19, out here with the devil every day. You're doing good? Family's good?
Yeah, you know, I'm guessing I can say this on air, but we're already in hell, so now we're just waiting for it to freeze over, right?
Not going to happen in the desert. Not going to happen in the desert. We just keep messing with this devil, and it's supposed to be 115 this weekend, so we will see what gets down and what happens. Oh, man. the
but you
I'm
know
surprised.
What? I love it. We choose to live here, you know? So we choose the desert. I'd rather live here and have almost zero chance of any real natural disasters happening that, you know, are weather-related. So I think we're in pretty good – we can deal with a little bit of heat for all the benefits that we get out of this.
I guess it's the price we pay for wearing shorts in January.
I tell you what, I've been working from home for like 4 months now. I have worn long pants. See how I call them long pants now? I have worn long pants maybe 3 times. And 2 of those were trips up to Pine Top for the weekend.
Dave, that next thing you know, you're going to be rolling out some corduroys. And then that's when I'll know for sure.
Knickers.
So I'm trying to figure out what you're doing here anyway. Aren't you supposed to be in a tier one of the bubble for the press and quarantine and only able to leave your room to get a test and go back?
Dude, I do not have $550 a day to spend on that kind of crap with the high chance of actually getting infected. Nope, I'm happy right here. We get Zoom calls every day with the team, at least with the coach, if not players, for post-practice and post-game. I am happy right here in my own little bubble.
Well, so
you there?
Diamondbacks roll out.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Dave, are you good?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry, I said, this is where I got to relate baseball on this real quick. So the Diamondbacks, who I absolutely adore covering, we have Zoom meetings every single day. Now, we can go down to the stadium, but if you go down to the ballpark, I should say, and you get your little area, you watch the practice, and then you go back to your little area, put your mask back on, and do a Zoom call from the stadium to the team that's already at the stadium. There you go.
There you go.
I need say nothing else. So, needless to say, all my Zoom calls have happened from not driving out to the stadium. Although I'm going to get down there when the game starts. Now, I think,
man,
and
I don't even know if I'm going to go back when the games start, when they're back in town, which will be in the fall. We'll see. That'll be December for me for basketball. That'll be December,
right,
or January, whenever they say they're going to start up again. By that time, hopefully, there will be some kind of therapeutics and the hospitals won't be 90% full. and then I can make a different decision.
Oh, that's what we heard.
What was that again? Say it again.
Said the whole thing is a hoax, right? That's what we were told. So why not go down?
I'm going to repeat. What was that? Say it again. Because I don't listen to that kind of jive.
I hear you, man. Hey, listen, I do have a question for you. Do you feel that this season is disjointed? I mean, that's a logical question, a logical answer, but and that I'm saying that I don't feel like we're still in the same season once these games start in a couple weeks. I feel like this is just something completely different. Do you feel it's the same season?
No, not at all. And in fact, the coach and the GM have both said similar things, that this is like a chance at a two summers in one off season, you know, two off seasons in one, and that players will have, I don't know, they haven't had time to actually work out or whatever and become better at their craft because they were quarantined like us for a lot of it. But I do believe that people grow just mentally in the off season. They get their energy back. They get to recap and rehash in their minds what happened. And so, yeah, you're going to get different looking teams coming back into this bubble than we're playing in February and March. And it's going to be really fascinating to see. But, yeah, it feels like a whole different season.
Dave, I want you to listen to something. It's about 45 seconds, and then I'm going to ask you your take on this with a specific question. So listen to this for me. It's about, and I know you've heard it, but I want you to hear one more time.
It's important. It's a little less than a tenth of the season for our guys. And, you know, it's important that they get a chance to compete. We thought that we would start to get healthy, and the season came to an abrupt end. You start to see some of our younger guys, you know, Javon started to step forward and take the reins at the point guard position. We were expecting to get Frank Kaminsky back, who was pivotal for us early in the season. You know, Aaron Baines was starting to hit his stride again, and Dario Saric had really started to come alive. So it's important for those guys to continue the competition and to work towards something. They're all competing for minutes. They're all competing for their place on this team. And it started in training camp, and unfortunately the hiatus suspended that, but it's going to finish in Orlando.
Dave, you know, that was James Jones, Suns general manager. Are they evaluating while they're in Orlando, or are they competing for the playoffs? Because when I listen to him and Monty, sometimes the two kind of overlap. What exactly are we hearing?
I think they're doing both. And that's what they've been doing all season. They've basically been, look, you can't mail it in. You got to play hard. You got to play tough. You got to try to win every single game. And the players who do that most consistently are the ones who are going to play the most when there are good options. There just weren't good options at the backup point guard this year, but certainly at starting point guard and along that starting lineup and the infamous, what's it called, the Bobra lineup, basically where you put Kelly and Mikel on the front line next around DeAndre with Ricky and Devin in the backcourt. All that was part of the evaluation while also trying to win. But this is not a win-first team. This is not a team that was in the playoffs last year, and now they have to try to get to the second round instead of the first round. This is a team that is still trying to feel its way into being, respectable. And so it's evaluation and play to win at the same time, which does make it difficult for the coach. But the coach is bought in because he's evaluating while he's playing people. So That's the best answer I can give is that it seems to be it's both, and that's the stage that they're in as a team right now.
On the Cave Show with PLR here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Dave King, managing editor of Bright Side, covers the Suns for SB Nation, co-hosts the Sun Solar Panel podcast. There's going to be someone looked out. And when you look at this roster and you look at what they're doing, who's left out when these games start in terms of playing to be competitive and playing for evaluation? If you have in your front court Aiden and Bane and Bridges and Diallo and Cam and Frank Kaminsky, There's not enough minutes. There's not enough time. Who do you think is the left out one when this starts?
You know, that's a good question. If they were all 100% healthy, and if you talk about the first 2 to 3 games where it's that's the games where you're going to try to win the most. And if you don't win those games, then, you know, it's just the young guys from then on. But if you win the first 2 to 3 games or 2 out of 3, then you're going to keep playing to win. The problem here is that they're not all 100% going to be healthy. What the NBA has already proven is that they don't have the magic pill to get you free of coronavirus. And the Nuggets just canceled. They just announced NBA PR. Just announced the Nuggets canceled their first practice in Orlando today. To me, that tells me they don't have enough guys who can play, which means they must have gotten some positive tests. And I don't know what they're going to do going forward. The Nets, they just signed Michael Beasley and Jamal Crawford in the last 2 days. And those guys have to quarantine for a week even before they can play. And then Beasley has five. Beasley, it's hilarious because not only does he have to come over and quarantine for 7 days, but then after he lands in Orlando, but then he has to serve a 5-game suspension of their 8 games that are in the before the playoffs. But they still sign him because that's all there is. You know, and the sad thing is they're guaranteed, almost guaranteed, to make the playoffs, the Nets, because they're so far ahead of the Wizards, who are without Bradley Beal and aren't even going to try. So it's just like this is crazy stuff. So who's going to be left out of the Suns' rotation is going to be a matter of who's healthy enough to play and who's not healthy enough to play. The Suns already have 2 positive tests, so they're already down at least 2 people, if not more, since they got in Orlando. It's going to be a war of attrition if they were totally healthy. So your question was basically is if they're totally healthy. If they're totally healthy, then you don't play any backup point guards, period. And you just have Ricky and Devin sharing the point, which Monty Williams had already mentioned a couple of months ago that he wants to do going forward if he can, is really just give the backup point guard minutes to Devin Booker. Like you should have all season, but they didn't want to overload Booker too much, I guess. So you give the backup point guard minutes to Booker. Since Kelly Oubre is out injured, you're going to have room for Frank and Dario on that front line now. They're just not going to be able to play as fast and nimble as they wanted to be. And I think everybody gets playing time now, just because Kelly's out. So I don't think the only guys who should be left on the bench not to get any minutes are the backup point guards.
Was signing campaign an indictment on Ellie and Ty Jerome and DeVon Carter?
Payne is barely guaranteed any money for next year, so they're all basically free agents in the summer or the fall now anyway. So, I mean, it tells you that they're not happy with Ellie, at least. I think they like Javon, but Javon they see limited, I think, as not a distributor guy, and they need passing. So he's not really a passer. So Javon probably has a role on a team for 6-8 years at least going forward as a shooter off the bench and a guy who can play crazy defense, okay? But he's not going to be a distributor, so they needed a passer. And I think that what this does is this spells the end of Elie Okobo as long as Cameron Payne can stay healthy. And they're going to try to, you know, have Cam Payne take over that Elie Okobo spot if they don't sign someone even better in this offseason. So I think it does spell the end of Elie, but not anybody else.
If you handicap this right now, what 2 or 3, or if you want to go 4, that's fine, teams do you think have a real good shot at winning the NBA title?
Two or three teams with a real good shot. Well, let's assume that the absolute absolute best players are not going to be out because of the COVID. Okay, let's assume that the best stay healthy. I think the 2 or 3 teams with the best shot at winning a championship have to include the 2 LA teams, the LA Lakers and the Clippers. They are seeded 1 and 2 in the West, but they're also the best. I mean, LA Lakers can beat you, obviously, with 2 of the best players in the game with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I mean, that's the best sporting cast LeBron's had. I mean, nothing I mean, you could say maybe obviously in Miami he had the two, Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, but since that group,
right.
This is the best supporting cast he's had. And you've got the Clippers with just Kawhi Leonard. I mean, good God, that guy is the best playoffs player that we've had in the past decade, I think. And so you've got those two, so that's two. And then on the other side, I really think Toronto has a better chance than Milwaukee, because until Milwaukee actually shows that they can win tough series, you can't count on them. And Toronto, even though they're undermanned because they lost some of their better talent, they're still second in the West, in the East. So I think it's the Clippers, mm-hmm. Lakers, and the Raptors are the three best chances at the championship.
Give me the team that can come out of nowhere if everyone stays healthy and everyone would say, wow, them? Which team would that be?
The Phoenix Suns, man.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I didn't say the COVID.
Yeah,
that's, we'll call that COVID high, because we're not going to call it COVID high.
Okay, who's the team? Here's the thing. I really think I'm going to make some hot takes here. I really think Portland does end up with the eighth seed.
Wow.
I think they'll take over the eighth seed before the eight games are over, and Memphis is going to have to be the play-in team rather than somebody else be the play-in team against Memphis. I really think Portland's going to clear out that eighth seed before even the play-in games. But that doesn't mean they're going to win the first round. I think they'll still go down in the first round. As far as a dark horse to win the whole championship, I guess I got to go Boston since I haven't named them yet. But they wouldn't be the surprise. I really think the surprise team that everyone's like, I cannot believe they did this, would still be the Toronto Raptors.
Okay.
What about
Call
you?
Call me crazy, Dave. I think it's Houston. And
no,
I have some.
I have no faith in Houston.
I have no faith in James Harden generally in the playoffs. Comes rust again in the playoffs and everything goes haywire. But here's why. No one has played at all. No one has played organized at all. But when you get back to practicing, you're practicing regular basketball. Houston's going to come at you with irregular basketball. And I think because everything is so short, because of the amount of players that will flip, I just for some reason think if I'm picking an outside dark horse, that would be it. It was going to be Denver at first, but Denver can't get their best player back in the country and test it right. And then now, like you said, they can't even fill the team yet. So it would have been them if everything had been right. I just think small ball is going to give people some fits. Will it work? Obviously, probably not, but that's why it's a dark horse, not a hot take, a dark, dark horse. So on this very wacky long line, Dave King here on the show with PLR. I spoke to Pompey with the Philly Inquirer, and we talked about the Sixers briefly, and he mentioned some stuff about them, and he sees them every day. And I know that you don't like the Sixers, but how much are they going to miss shooting? And has Joel Embiid, according to Kendrick Perkins, mentally already checked out and to just shut up and dribble and play ball? How impactful do you think he'll be in this playoff run?
That's a really good question. I really think Joel Embiid, I've always liked him because I think he does actually care. He's not the clown that he comes – I mean, he is a clown, but he actually is a clown that cares. And I think he is going to bust some butt in these playoffs as long as he can stay healthy. I think he's one of the best – one of the five best players in the entire playoffs across both conferences. However, if he gets put on an island to defend a guard, you know, because of switching and all that in this league, depending on his matchups, he's not the greatest on, you know, he doesn't have the most nimble feet. He's an incredible defender inside the arc. You don't want to put him on an island outside it. So really, Philly, your first point was the most valid. They can't shoot the basketball. They just can't. So I really think Philly, and plus they were almost winless on the road this year and almost lossless at home, and they're not playing any more home games. So I really think Philly has got a really tough time, and I'd be surprised if they make it out of the second round. They might make it out of the first round, but I'd be surprised if they make it out of the second round. And I just think there's a limit to with it, unless you have some really good shooting around Ben Simmons, there's a limit to how much he can really transcend if nobody can make the shots he's setting them up to shoot.
Two more, Dave, I'm going to let you jump. Season is the end. We're going to have a draft. We're going to have free agency. We're going to have all that. And we're going to roll right back to it in December, allegedly. Paint this picture for me. How many days off will players be taking next year for games, workload games, because they didn't get the proper rest? And should they even start in December or just wait till January and try to condense as many games in as possible to give players the proper rest in an offseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, players have been playing offseason anyway because of Olympics and international competitions every year anyway. And so I think we've already got – and plus they had a longer offseason this past 4 months than they usually get at all. So while it's going to start taking its toll in 6 months from now, I think they're going to be ready to play. I don't think we're going to get too much more load management than we have this past year. I do think in and of itself it was going to start growing more and more because of the 82 games is kind of a long time before you get to a playoffs. We've always known that. So I think we're always going to have load management issues with or without this pandemic. Will the pandemic make it worse? Possibly, but I hadn't really thought about that. I don't think it'll make it worse.
You said something earlier which made me want to ask you a question that I wasn't going to. When you talked about Joel Embiid and switching, you know, and how he would get left on the island or things like old games on NBA TV, why do they switch so much? I was watching an old game with in the where some games need different positions defensively. Why do guys guard their positions anymore and fight through picks, fight over picks, fight under them, do whatever they have to? But why don't guys guard and just switch everything?
Well, my take is that mostly in the past, the pick and rolls, whenever the defensive or the offensive big is throwing a pick, that's when you do the switching, right? Or any offensive player. Now they shoot. The past few years, they've had Klay Thompson and Steph Curry throwing picks for each other to get each other open, forcing the defenders to decide whether to fight through or whether to switch. And what's happened is, A, the league got switch happy. You're right. Maybe they went a little bit too far into the switching. But also, B, these players are playing to get that quick shot right as the player's having to make that decision. So they curl around the pick guy and then they launch a three within, you know, half a second of the pick. And so if you don't switch, then that person's wide open because you're still trying to fight through. So I think it's just how basketball evolves. I do think they're switching too much now, where they didn't switch enough years ago. But switching is absolutely necessary, I think, if you want to stop good shooters from curling around the pick and launching a three uncontested.
All right, Dave, here's your rapid-fire exit. Ready?
Yep.
All right. Your favorite center to ever play for the Suns?
DeAndre Ayton, man.
Favorite power forward?
Nostalgia says Mark West, but I'll say DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, favorite power forward?
Oh, God, man, you're going fast. Let's see, obviously, it's got to be Amar'e Stoudemire.
Favorite small forward?
Sean Marion.
Two guard?
On a personal level, I really got along well with Jeff Hornacek when he was coach here, and I always loved him as a player because he fought his butt off. But, you know, there's been a lot of really good two guards in Suns history. Dan Majerle and now Devin Booker. I'll stick with Horny.
Okay, and your favorite point guard?
My favorite point guard. You know, that's another one. The Suns have had so many great point guards. But, I mean, there's only one Steve Nash. And so you got to name Steve Nash. I think there's no other way to do it.
Dave, we didn't match on any. Not one.
Yeah, what are yours? Tell me
not
yours.
Not one. KJ, Walter Davis. Well, we did match one. I take the back. Sean Marion, Charles Barkley, and Alvin Adams.
You know what? I love Alvin Adams. He is a great one to pick, but he's kind of more legend than anything. So, yeah, that's a good one. Charles, I didn't even think about Charles. So I probably should have, but Amari was, even though I've been a fan since the 80s, Amari was just such a unique beast. And so was Charles, of course, but Amari came to mind first. The whole off-court stuff with KJ has kind of made me sour to him. So I'm just going Steve Nash on that one. I'm not going to change that one.
I got you. If you just go off basketball, you can't go wrong with either one. I just remember the early 90s and watching KJ and then Walter Davis and that beautiful shot. I think I'm showing my age now, but that beautiful shot just fell in love with that. You know, we used to get in Chicago, CBS used to do a 10:30 p.m. game on Fridays. And the three teams they always would show were the Suns, the Supersonics, and the Lakers. So by watching the Suns play at the Madhouse, Walter Davis and the Bo Westphal years, and even, a lot of people don't remember this, when Dennis
Larry
Johnson
Nance.
Had his – Larry Nance, all of them, I would. That was my one night. I did not have a night curfew, and I could sit up and watch games. And just watching them play was incredible. So, yeah, those are my – I have to get it, because if anyone knows – listen, if anybody knows the Suns, audience, listen to me. Dave King is the man. All you have to do is follow and check him out. Now, I will warn you, because he's going to give it to you. He's going to give you his Twitter info. Dave is a lot like me. If you look at his Twitter just for sports, you're going to get your feelings hurt, because he is a person as well that tweets about what's on his mind. I love your tweets too, by the way, just so you know. I love it when you're active.
Thank
on you. You and Gerald are my two favorite Twitter follows, just so you know.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks. You can find me at Dave King NBA on Twitter. I usually stick to sports, but during incredible pandemics and big nationwide movements, sometimes I'll throw my hat in the ring on that. But absolutely, you know, I am who I am. I'm a guy. I'm a person first and a basketball fan second. And then you can find me on brightsideofthesun.com. as our main website, the biggest Suns blog around, and we get personal access, full-time access to the Suns. It's really great. And then, of course, I've got the Solar Panel podcast. Look for Sun Solar Panel on all your podcast apps.
Yo, my brother, I appreciate you hopping on. And, hey, I look forward to Zooming with you next week. So this is going to be a 2 weeks of Dave King for me. I'm ready for this.
Oh, I don't know if you're going to be ready. You probably regret that later.
Yo, my friend, I appreciate you very much. Thanks for spending some time.
All right, thank you. Bye, man.
All right, Dave. That's the one, the only Dave King. That is my guy. I've got stories I can tell, but I'm not, because we're both sworn to secrecy. Step away, take care of a couple of bills. We will be right back.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in The Cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show on PLR. This is PLR, and we are coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Get your butt down here. Definitely check them out. The best cigar selection you're going to get in the Valley of the Sun down here. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Thank you, Dave King, for hanging with us today. I truly appreciate it. That's my man from Bright Side of the Sun. SB Nation and co-host of the Sun Solar Panel Podcast. So a couple things I want to touch on. First off, I got ahead of myself. I do apologize. I do want to talk a little bit about where you can check our show out in case you miss us here live. We are on KSRN, the KSRN Network. You can download an app from iTunes or any Google Play Store, and you can definitely check that out. So later tonight, to give everyone a heads up on tomorrow's show, I have the opportunity and the pleasure to interview Corey Homicide Williams, a former professional basketball player. He's over in Australia now, and he's going to shed some light on basketball in Australia, basketball that he played, and all that good stuff. So we're going to tee that up for you for tomorrow. We'll have that playback, the replay tomorrow on the show, and I look forward to you listening to that. Like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. A couple things I want to chime before we get out of here today. Don't forget, tomorrow we announce the Doofus of the Week Award. The poll will be up in about another 20 minutes at the Sports Cave on the Twitter. But for who is the Doofus of the Week for us, and we will crown them tomorrow. I do, though, want to talk about Ivy League football. There will be no Ivy League football. It is done. The pandemic has ruled out anyone playing football in the Ivy League. I don't blame them. Listen, I think pros have a whole different aspect of what's going to happen with football. Those are grown men, grown decisions, grown people bills, grown people problems. I can't justify rolling out a 19 and 20-year-old to play football when you're going to tell me other 19 and 20-year-olds shouldn't be on campus. And this illuminates from the inside even more. The next time a university tells you they're student athletes and puts the word student, laugh at them. Because like I said before, Stanford has canceled 11 sports programs solely because they don't have the finances to fill those programs because football will not be played. But yet the NCAA wants to limit those kids from selling their own likeness. If it smells like crap, it usually is crap. Do not serve me pigeon and tell me a steak. And that's exactly what the NCAA has been doing since forever. These are athletes who happen to be students at the school. They're not student athletes. Do not fool yourself. Do not kid yourself. Those four-year scholarships, when they say they have a full ride, don't believe that lie either. The devil is always in the details. You don't get a four-year scholarship. You get 4 1-year scholarships, which can be revoked at any time. So understand exactly what's going on here. As much as they want football to play, as much as these young men and women want to play, one, because they love what they do, and two, because a lot of them have aspirations of going to the next level, understand it's just important for schools and for TV and for the other sports because that is revenue. You keep hearing there are different kinds of sports in colleges. There's revenue-driven sports. There's non-revenue. Revenue sports, basketball, football, some cases baseball, on the East Coast, hockey. Non-revenue, synchronized swimming, diving, equestrian, rowing. Those are not revenue-driven sports. You didn't see Stanford doing away with football. You didn't see Stanford saying we're canceling basketball. You saw them canceling synchronized swimming. That's not coincidence. So everyone who screams, well, these kids are getting a free education, I want you to really stop and think about what you're saying because the reality is coming out now. They may be getting an education. You are 100% correct. But what they're giving to the school in terms of revenue way outweighs the other side. Remember, Ivy League kids don't get athletic scholarships. A lot easier to cancel an Ivy League, but you don't see the ACC who said, hey, we're going to just try to put it on in our conference. The Pac-12, hey, we're just going to try to do conference games only. Hey, SEC, we're going to try to do conference games only. That's because they want the revenue. And if you think, and like I said, I can say this because I don't have to beat myself. It's my show. If you think the season is a shit show, wait until you see the halves try to divvy up the bowl money if bowls get canceled. Because all bowl games are dog and pony shows. And they're ran by the teams and the conferences with the biggest dogs and the biggest ponies. And if they have to miss out on those paydays, you're going to have a whole nother set of problems. If you think that they were sick and taking milk and magnesia over missing the Final Four tournament, you haven't seen nothing yet. If they have to turn around and miss the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and the National Championship game, then you're going to see grown men cry. Joe West, on the baseball side, Joe West, I just thought he couldn't call balls and strikes anymore. But Joe West is now saying basically the same thing what I was kidding around with Dave about. If you have a car accident in the sniffles, they're saying it's COVID. People that haven't been impacted on a personal level, they can continue to call fake and hoax all they want. I know people who have lost family members to COVID-19. For someone who's in his position to come out and say something that asinine, I do not blame the union, the umpires union, for running away from that. They are running away from that really fast. They are putting as much distance between themselves and Joe West as possible. No one wants to hear that nonsense when all you have to do is flip on any channel you want. If you're far right, go to Fox. If you're far left, go to MSNBC. If you're left-leaning, go to CNN. Go wherever you want. There's a death toll ticker. And if you think that all those deaths are fake, you go sit in the living room with those family members and have them talk to you. Joe West, you're an idiot, and you have now made it in the running for the Doofus of the Week Award. Breaking news, the Big Ten Conference. Guess who they want to play only? Big Ten teams. Not just in football, but all sports. I wonder why. That dollar bill is a hard thing to let go. A real hard thing to let go. Corey Homicide Williams will be playing that interview from later on tonight on the show tomorrow. We're going to wrap it up. It is Friday. I can't wait. I know you can't wait. We will have more tomorrow. The Mercury, their season is about to kick off as well. The WNBA, they have meetings and conferences planned for us all week next week. I will share with you what I get, when I get it, like I always do. Big time thanks to Maduro's for having us down here. It is so good to be back to Cigars with the Cave Show. Thursdays, we're back. Look forward to it. Ron Harden, the owner of Maduro's, great place he's put together. Come down. Definitely check it out. Check out your steak. Like I said, JFR is the stick of the day. 15% off. If you come down here while I'm still here, you still get 15% off of any cigar. And if you come down any other time, it's 10%. But like I said, that's $49.91 South Alma School in Chandler, right on Chandler Heights and Alma School. Thank you, caller, for calling in. Dave King, thank you, my friend, for joining today. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram. Cave is with the K. You can also get us on our website, thesportscave.com. Again, cave is with the K. And you can get me on Twitter, TLR on sports. That's about it. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone. Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your Friday Eve. And we're going to do it like we always do it. Mighty Temptations, bring us home.